Hello, I'm Emily Grace, and welcome to the Stages podcast of Bernstein Private Wealth Management. Life throws lots of challenges at us. We're here to discuss them. Having helped families prioritize what makes money meaningful for them and then invest for that purpose for close to 20 years now, I've seen people through many markets and many life events. And while every market is different, what remains constant is the need for guidance and advice through all the uncertainty. Being able to help people navigate these markets and to be able to introduce them to some of the smartest investment minds and experts in other fields, whatever the stage in their life, is a real honor. If you or someone you know would like my advice or an introduction to my guest, you can reach me at emily.grace@bernstein.com. Today, I've invited Missy and Scott Tannen, founders of Bowl & Branch, to join me on the stage. Bowl & Branch is an organic luxury bedding company that sells sheets, bedding, bath towels, and mattresses. In 2019, the Textile Exchange named Bowl & Branch as the largest consumer of organic fair trade certified cotton, ahead of companies like Patagonia and Nike. Just this year, in 2020, the Leeds Foremost 50 recognized Bowl & Branch as a true change maker in the industry. Missy and Scott join us today to discuss how to secure that great night's sleep and how they have created a company that is helping to secure the future of not just our planet, but also our people. Missy and Scott, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So what on earth made you decide to start Bowl & Branch, to start this, you know, this bedding company, and where did that name come from?
Well, we'll start with the name. So, you know, people wonder which one of us is Bowl and which one of us is Branch. But the truth is that if you think about a cotton plant and you think about the white puffy cotton, it grows out of the bowl, which yes. grows on a branch. But symbolically, we didn't have a name till well after we had the concept. In fact, we'd placed our first order before we even had a company name. But going all the way back to what started where we started, how we started the journey. Like a lot of entrepreneurs, we were just customers, and a research rabbit hole on a product turned into a case where in our situation, we basically took our life savings, sent it to a guy in India and hoped that a boat would show up in about 8 months with sheets. But Missy and I were redoing our master bedroom, moving from a queen bed to a king bed, and suddenly faced with the task of realizing we'd never bought our own linens. Missy's mom had bought them.
Right. And you I would say he was not involved in this part of the process when I was just shopping for our sheets as an average consumer ready to make that investment. And, you know, went to the mall, went to a bunch of home stores, and really came home so confused at what price point should I spend? What are, you know, the different fabrics out there? And what am I getting? There are so many buzzwords in the market, like thread count or the type of cotton. And I just wanted a great night's sleep. So,
but at the time, I think it's important to say, so I had sold my last company. I was consulting, so I was spending more time at home than probably at any other point in my career. And you can imagine how I felt when my wife came home, confounded by the incredibly
complex world of sheets
and complex world of bedding, and how this was ruining her day. And at which point I realized that. I and my friends at Google were going to solve this in about 10 minutes. And so the first thing I searched for was, well, what thread count sheets are the best?
Yes.
And it spit out an article, and I'll never forget it. It was a New York Times article, and it said, you know, guess what? Thread count doesn't mean anything. And I was like, well, that's a little bit weird.
That's the only thing we're told to focus
yeah.
on.
Several hours later, falling deep in a rabbit hole, I was like, we can't be the only ones with this problem. And I suddenly started validating Missy's problem in my mind. But the truth is that the bedding industry is incredibly opaque, right? We all participate, everybody, whether you know, no matter your socioeconomic status, you participate in bedding. But how many people are truly knowledgeable about the products? I mean, if you were to ask your listeners, and maybe your listeners want to ask themselves right now, what brand of sheets are on their bed? Most people are lucky if they can identify the name of the retailer from where the sheets came from, let alone the brand. And so therein lied an opportunity. Well, what if you can create a brand? in this space that you know, I was lucky in my career. I got to work on brands like Oreo and Planters and Altoids. Yes. And I had seen the power of what real consumer brands mean in terms of the magnetism that they had. So in my simplistic view, I was like, well, I'm going to figure out how to source some good sheets, and I'm going to get an agency to slap a logo on this, and we're going to make a brand. Now the problem is that real brands, whether it's Oreo or Patagonia, they're powered by values. They have a strong value system. They mean something. They stand for something. And oftentimes, you know, there might be modern companies that build CSR departments and suddenly manufacture their values. But the real brands, again, using Patagonia, this is built over a long period of time and goes all the way back to a founding story. And that's exactly what happened with Missy and I. As we started researching and learning about the textile industry, we found that the kind of crummy reputation that the textile industry had was pretty well earned. And there were an unbelievable amount of inefficiencies and, frankly, elements of human injustice throughout the process. Textiles and bedding was an industry that we're all participating in, yet across the board, it was not raising up people. It was actually hurting small manufacturers, agriculture, and the planet.
And, right. and this was around the time of that fire in Bangladesh.
Correct.
Right?
That was even before that. You know, we were sort of parallel pathing it. We saw the conventional way of doing things where anybody can call a middleman or can call a licensor and do the exact same thing that a department store does and private label something. And we looked at it. We're like, this is going to be way harder to go the route of identifying our cotton sources, our manufacturing partners, and building our own supply chain. And really, to cut a long story and make it short, we thought that the more difficult road was the only way we could operate. How could we build a business that wasn't in line with our personal values that we wouldn't feel proud to tell our own kids about? And that's where our story began.
But if I can come back as a consumer,
yes,
I like everything Scott's mentioning is part of all of our decision-making process and what we learned along the way when we were researching, how are we going to make sheets? Are we going to use a middleman? Are we going to go direct to a factory? What kind of cotton do we want to use? What kind of factory do we want to work with and what partners? But as a consumer, I wanted beautiful bedding for my bedroom. I didn't want to have to compromise having something that, you know, a bright white on my sheets and a crisp, you know, look to
that
it.
That was crunchy and uncomfortable.
I didn't want something, you know, as we were parallel pathing this and learning how much better organic cotton is, not only for the environment and the land, but also for the people making it and growing it and picking it by hand and not having to use pesticides and chemicals that they're carrying around in backpacks in the developing world. But then we also were like, wow, what if we can take this and make it into something beautiful and different than you would have at the time? I think you would have expected organic cotton sheets or clothing to be more natural in color and not necessarily a part of, you know, the fashion as you would think. So that became my personal challenge, is to really keep the aesthetic clean, beautiful, current, and fresh while having all those values and doing things differently in the farming and then manufacturing side. Right,
so really marrying those two together.
Exactly.
As the two married people sitting across the table from me were doing.
Yeah. Not all things seem like they would fit together, but they do.
And now, I guess, when we talk about it being better for the workers, right, the organic, is it better for somebody who's sleeping on them? Like, why? So I understand that I'm hearing we should care about it, our listeners should care about it because it's better, you know,
right,
it's fair labor and all of that.
I should have even taken it a step further.
Does it matter for those people sleeping on it?
Sure. I mean, so not only do you go to bed on our sheets feeling, people will tell us they feel different sleeping on their sheets, whether it's, you know, a concrete fact like, wow, I just actually slept better, I slept longer last night, or more subjective of, I went to bed happier and appreciative for my life and thinking about, you know, what this purchase meant for the world. But also then selfishly, you can know that you're not sleeping on anything that's touched pesticides or chemicals. Well,
I think it's even more. I mean, I'll give you specifics. And so, first of all, we just did a study. 96.5% of customers tell us they sleep better on our product. A lot of that has to do with how comfortable they are.
Yeah.
I would say most of it has to do with how comfortable it is. But when you think about, let's use one simple example of wrinkle-resistant sheets, which is if you walk into any big box department store at any price point, you're going to see wrinkle-resistant. You know how they get wrinkle-resistant? They coat the threads in formaldehyde.
Oh, lovely.
Right? Literally. Which is lovely. And you combine that with the fact that, you know, the amount of insecticides, pesticides that are used on the cotton is leached into the plant. But even worse than that, goes into the groundwater, goes into the soil. So what happens is the soil becomes less and less fertile with each crop. So what does that mean? It means we need to continue to genetically modify the cotton seed so it'll grow there and to get more and more. So it's a vicious cycle. So in terms of what's the impact for the customer, the impact for the customer is ultimately going to be down the road. And this has to do with all textiles and really all agriculture. The more you continue to support genetically modified products, the more expensive products are going to become in the future because you can't harvest the seeds. The farmers have to buy them every single time. And when the farmers have to buy them and then buy the chemicals and all the things that they need to do to grow that crop, that cost is passed on.
The price up.
And right, so you take that cost and you multiply it by somewhere between 5 and 10 between all the markups that they get, and that's the cost passed into the retail price to the customer. So by farming organically, what we're doing is we're supporting organic farming and buying goods that are produced organically, whether it's a home textile or a food product or anything like that. What you're doing is you're creating demand in the marketplace for those growers who are actually directly and indirectly, they're directly impacting the planet and the ecological balance. But indirectly, what they're doing is serve the consumer better for a much longer period of time.
Wow, it's fascinating because one of the places that I would say you really were ahead, right, is that you started from the very beginning building with your own sourced materials and being able to know the entire supply chain on it. And it's interesting because our portfolio managers spend a lot of time working with companies now trying to help them figure out how to maybe make these sort of shifts, right? How do they change their plant, not on the sheet business per se, but how do they make their plant more, you know, carbon neutral? And oftentimes the questions that we get from management are, if we spend $1 billion, you know, are you going to stick with us? And do you think that this is going to be worth it in the long run for us to spend this type of money today to have better results 3-5 years from now? And
I think it's a bit of a two-edged sword. And first of all, when you think about sustainability and really any norm in business, that can be a strong unit economic model or anything like that, it's always easier when you start from a strong place. How many cases have we seen businesses, let's use WeWork as an example, which is very public. There was no path.
There is not public, as the case may be.
Exactly, right? But there's, no, that's great. But what's the path to profitability there? They built an unsustainable business model. So in that case, it was a business model that wasn't sustainable. The same goes for a lot of manufacturing businesses. When they haven't been focused on sustainability and they're public companies, are they going to go to the street and talk about margin compression because now they suddenly want to be more mindful of the world in which they live? You know, and these are really, really real world difficult decisions that a lot of businesses have to make. And I think that when you relate that to Boll & Branch, we actually were really thoughtful. And people say, you know, said to us all the time, like, did you ever imagine Boll & Branch would grow into this, you know, 9-figure revenue business? And like, we certainly didn't expect it to fail. We wouldn't have done it. I think like any entrepreneur, you visualize the opportunity.
Or else it would be
you.
A very expensive pair, set of sheets on the bed.
Exactly. It still was. But you know, and I still see us in really, really early days. So, but because of that, and because we had experience building businesses, or at least I had experience building businesses, Missy had experience figuring stuff out, and there's nobody that's going to work harder to make a product, but you understand from your business planning standpoint, you've really got to think about what does a company like this in the future need to look like? How does it need to operate? What needs to be the operating system of that business?
Yes.
Not only from a value standpoint, from an actual behavior standpoint, And so when we see, I mean, I can't remember the company that it was. Nike said, hey, in 5 years, 100% of our products are going to be made from sustainable materials. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm super excited that they're doing it because they don't have to do it. Although I would
argue. Or they might have to.
I would argue that with customers, they realize they are going to have to do it. But, you know, they announced this 3-4 years ago. It's going to take you 7 years to do it. Like, trust me, I can introduce you to plenty of organic cotton farmers that would be thrilled to sell you to sell you their cotton, right? And it might even hurt my business because of the scale of Nike. But that just shows you how non-binary it is in these sort of decisions. But it's really important to see companies like Nike following the lead of companies like Patagonia, like us and others that are stepping up and doing it. Because that what it really means is that the voice of the customer is starting to be heard.
I was about to say, and as you were saying, right, it really is. It comes down to these millennials and Gen Z who are really shaping the way. You know, it used to be that people would, you know, you get out of college and you'd buy the same laundry detergent, right, the same sheets that your parents bought, right? You just sort of did what they did, and now there's this whole movement to...
Do you know what a Henry is?
No.
So Henry, high earner.
Oh, yes.
Not rich yet.
Not rich yet.
And so the Henrys are changing the world.
Yes.
Because these are people that, unlike any other generation, they do spend, but they spend much more thoughtfully. Their spending is much more similar to baby boomers than it is to Gen Y, Gen Xers. And so us as Gen Xers, you know, we're the generation that will splurge on things and will do things. And suddenly you're seeing this recoil with millennials that are starting to be much more thoughtful. And they're not just thoughtful around the companies that they engage with, but they really want to do their diligence on these companies. And they're expecting a strong social media position. They're expecting companies that have values to also be activists.
And they can check it really easily on all the apps they have on their phone that sort of provide
because
the information.
They're incredibly cynical. So they believe anything a company tells them, well, that's just advertising. That's just made up.
It has to come
so
from somebody else.
It has to come from somebody else. It has to
or
be
feel
validated
like it comes
in the
from
real
somebody
world.
Else.
Right. So that level, the level of transparency that we have in our business, a company like Everlane that's built so much transparency into their business model, these are the kinds of brands that you know, I believe are going to set the tone for the future because this is what customers are demanding. And I think the next step for these companies that are making these large claims around changing their business model is going to be also to start removing the opacity
to follow through and be seen and all
that. And that's why, like, for you having a podcast and you know, I wish that CEOs of all these companies would have podcasts, would start engaging with people to understand the thought process. People might be, and I might be more understanding of why it's taking Nike so long if I understood why.
Right, if there was some discussion around it.
And in fact, I might support that company more aggressively because I say, wow, they're making a big move here. They're taking money out of their pockets, their shareholders' pockets, to do something that's right for the long term.
Yes.
So I am going to support them today, even though they're not there yet.
And it's interesting because I have had people say to me that they feel closer to me with the podcast than pre-podcast because they're sort of hearing conversations I'm having and I'm in their living room. I'm with them on their commute. I'm, you know, in the train with them. I'm sorry, everybody.
I know. Well, at least people say that to you.
Right.
They think Missy and I are in bed with them.
I'm gonna try to stay out of their beds.
Yeah.
Now, when this all started, right, and when you talk about sort of the challenges and all of that, right, it all started with you moving from a queen size bed to a king size bed, right? This was a big transition, right? You're getting your first big bed. You don't know what sheets to buy. So how does someone know what sheets to buy, right? Let's say that somebody's moving out of their parents' house, right? They've graduated college. They're buying sheets for themselves for the first time, or somebody's recently divorced and their spouse always took care of the sheets. You know, whatever it is, how should they figure this out?
It's really simple. They
Fantastic.
Open their computer and type in B-O-L-L.
Because there are also other, you've got different styles and different, you know.
I think that it's actually a trickier question. You know, at the end of the day, most people, what they want in sheets is soft. And even those that say they want crisp, people are like, oh, I love those hotel sheets. Yes. Take hotel sheets out of a hotel. It's not that great, right? It's just that everything else in a hotel room is so gross.
Fabulous. I was thinking everything's so fabulous. It's clean. Like they've cleaned up.
Bring a black light to the remote control. No. Let me know how that goes.
I put those in a plastic bag.
Yeah, exactly. 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 So, you know, and
that they're ironed and the bed's made for totally. You that it makes
sense. So what you want to do people just want, they want to all of a sudden get in their bed, and especially if they're going to invest in a better quality set of sheets, they want to feel the difference.
Yes.
And the softness is something you're going to feel right away. You cannot mistake the fact that better sheets, you truly can tell the difference. Most people have never slept on a great set of sheets. When you do, you feel the difference. And as you wash them, they get better and better. So what you want to do is...
That's what surprised me.
Yeah.
Right? Is how much nicer they get after each wash as opposed to feeling sort of...
And that's how they should. So even when we created our very first fabric that we call our signature fabric, we wanted to create that softness for customers, and not only that on that right out of the package feel, but over time they should get softer and softer. So actually, at our retail store, and we're now in Nordstrom's as well. We have a feel wall where we have our sheets washed over 20 times, so you can feel the difference.
And how many, so assuming somebody washes their sheets every week, right? Big assumption there. Assuming somebody washes their sheets once a week, right? How often should you replace your sheets, right? So they get better and better and better. But I'm guessing that 20 years from now after...
I think it's all subjective too with that, right? So we always say the better you take care of your sheets, the longer they'll take care of you. So how are you washing them? We recommend to not use bleach and harsh chemicals. And yes, it's great if you wash them every week. We also recommend having a second set. So then this set of sheets has a week to breathe and just take a break.
When you've got that nice little bag.
But yeah, exactly. So, but at least, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. But, and it's also, you know.
And tastes might change. Exactly. So you might decide to, you know.
Well, and I think that, you know, people forget, especially with a product like ours. Our product is 100% organic cotton, which means it literally comes off the plant. Is ginned, so the seeds are removed, it's cleaned, spun into a beautiful yarn, woven, finished with some handwork and details, and delivered to you. So, and we do wash it, don't worry. Yeah. but it is a natural product and a natural fiber. So it is not a synthetic that will break down over time and just disappear.
Right.
Now, if you have, you know, calluses on your feet or really active legs and things like that. Like you can wear away at things. Think about your favorite t-shirt.
So everybody get your pedicures.
Yeah, exactly. Like we do require a pedicure for all customers.
Good.
No, but I think that like, you know, people believe that, oh, wow, I just got a set of Boll & Branch sheets and you know, they're not that expensive. They're not $1,000, $500 type sheets. And honestly, those aren't worth it anyway, because they're probably lower quality than what we sell, but that's a separate point. But you know, people don't need to treat them with kid gloves either. This is a great, really well-made product. It's going to last. It's going to last you a long time. And what we find is that most people do have a backup set of sheets, so they'll do 1 week on, 1 week off because they have a backup set. So our number one first purchase, 73% of people, the first time they buy a set of sheets. The second time they buy, which is nearly half of our customers come back and buy again, which is a pretty high number.
And you really see
retail.
You see those numbers.
And about 68% of them buy a second set of sheets. So when you think about that and suddenly you feel something better, your backup sheets feel worse, and you put them into rotation, but then you might decide, you know what, I want to try flannel in the winter.
Yes.
I want to try linen in the summer and those sorts of things. So the more you vary it, it also, you know, there are people out there that say that the cotton fiber should relax over time. I can't say that I'm a textile expert to that degree, although occasionally I think we both feel
you
like we
know
are.
More than you ever thought you would.
Trust me, I'm the most boring person you'll ever come to at a cocktail party. I'll go deep on textiles.
So we'll look the other way.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they should last a really long time, and that's what we created. We still have the very first sheets we tested before we launched. And trust me, they feel unbelievable. They're like your favorite t-shirt, even better.
Like buttery soft. Yeah. They're so good.
And when you think about changing your sheets, right? Here's the question that my husband Charlie wants me to ask. How do you get your kids to make their beds?
Oh, that's a really good question.
We're in a truth zone, right? Only us are here. Truth. Nobody else is listening.
Nobody's listening. Don't worry.
Our kids are perfect, and they make theirs with hospital corners every day.
They can drop a quarter on it, and it bounces.
Our kids wake up at 5. They do their own laundry. They make their own breakfast, and then they make their beds and drive themselves
to
school.
Only make their own breakfast. Don't they make your breakfast?
They do. Well, no. They don't really make our breakfast. They just set up a buffet.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. And the newspaper ready to read. I guess your iPad set up with it, since we're all very...
Naturally. So tell your husband, you guys just...
That we're not great parents.
You get a book? I don't know.
Okay. And the question, not just on my husband's mind, but on aficionados, sleep aficionados around the world, the real question is top sheet or no top sheet? Are you a top sheet family? Are you all on the same page? Do some kids feel one way? And
we're definitely a top sheet family. And I especially love using a top sheet, the flat sheet, because... then it will keep your duvet cleaner longer. And I also like to put a blanket in between just for texture between the sheet and the duvet cover. But I will have to say in the winter when we have our flannel duvet on, we will just sometimes use a flannel fitted sheet.
Okay.
Because then you don't get tangled up in flannel and you're just sleeping right between flannels. So that's a good pro tip.
So that will be the exception.
I think not using a top sheet is kind of gross because nobody washes their duvet cover as often as they wash their sheets.
I agree.
So full stop. If you
but try the flannel way.
If you don't
in the
use
winter.
A top sheet, you're gross.
So then do you? But I mean, there are people who, I guess they say they do wash their duvet every week or something. But would you then have to wash your flannel duvet every week? So you really want to make sure that...
Yeah, so if you're not using a flat sheet or top sheet, then you should be treating your duvet cover as if it's
the way you would treat that.
Exactly.
That top sheet.
And that's why, a lot of duvets are made out of sheeting material as well.
Right. Which I guess would also make an argument for the risk of if you're not using a duvet, right? There are people who use covers that are not duvets. Right.
Well, in the summertime, we'll just use like a quilt on top of our, like a light blanket and a sheet as well. What we find, though, is that.
Thanks for taking me into your bed, guys.
No, it's, we can, again, real boring at cocktail parties. But we find that for the most part, it's our dogs that are most particular about our duvet. So we are not.
And get it the dirtiest.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We are not. If someone were to look at our duvet, they're like, how dirty are you
right.
guys?
Right, wait but one second. You're like, no.
But we have
how
paw
many dogs?
Prints all over. We have two.
Two dogs? What kind?
Big ones.
Golden doodles.
Oh, yeah. Adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. Now, in one word, what's the best thing about a sheet? Oh, my goodness.
All right, go.
Sleep.
Softness.
Okay. Sleep and softness.
Laying there, sleeping in softness. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Missy and Scott Tannen, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today about how Bowl and Branch is helping people sleep better because of both the comfort that the sheets provide, but also the ability to know that you're doing good in the world and helping affect positive change down the line, which is what so many of us care about these days. So it's really nice to know that you've really sort of committed to this practice.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, of course. And if you'd like to speak with Missy or Scott, me, my family engagement team, or one of my senior investment strategists, you can reach us at emily.grace@bernstein.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.